Secrets from a Coach. Thrive and maximise your potential in the evolving workplace. Your weekly podcast with Debbie Green of Wishfish and Laura Thompson-Stavely of Phenomenal Training.
Debs.
Law, you all right?
Yeah, I'm more than all right. I'm getting a chance to relate with you and have time and to listen and share. And I'm so looking forward to the conversation on this episode, Debs, because we like to have a theme per month. So last month was all about motivation, how to keep yourself going through the tough times, how to boost team motivation, how to get the best out of yourself, and how to restore lost confidence and motivation if you sort of feel like you've lost it a little bit. And this month, the month of love, this is a focus on healthy working relationships. So I've got a question for you. All the reasons that people come to you as a coach, what impact does healthy relationships or lack of have on people's ability to perform, enjoy their role? So what impact relationships on how we work?
Oh my God, it is actually huge. Because if that relationship is not working, or that person doesn't feel that they're being heard or listened to, or they're not getting the support that they need, it just taps away and destroys, if you like, any sense of worth or value that you might have about yourself. So you can start to doubt your abilities, and you can start to think that you're not doing a good enough job. Doesn't matter what you try, you're not getting back from that individual what you need. So it can have a massive impact on your mental health, physical health as well, because that will come out of that way, and the emotions that sit around it, because it sort of creeps. It's not like day one. It's like, you know, it just creeps into that relationship, and you don't probably notice it, or if you do, you just put it down to going, oh, I'm sure they didn't really mean that, you know, because they might have made a quip, or they might have said something as in jest, banter. I hate the word banter, but it may have been done in that way. But it's when it gets repeated. And at first you might laugh it off and go, oh, that's just the way they are. But after over a period of time, it starts to nibble away at your confidence levels as well. You could find yourself working super, super hard, long hours to try and please that person. So therefore, it can be really detrimental to you as an individual, because, you know, your relationship at work should contribute to that sense of fulfillment, happiness, a sense of connection with people. And you shouldn't be feeling really distressed or anxious or unhappy around that individual, because that's what happens. And it varies widely. Some people have got real toxic relationships at work and other people haven't. And it's whether they, you know, what falls in between that spectrum. It can be anything.
So you mentioned the word toxic relationships. So just based on your very practical experience of thousands of hours of listening with people, what would be some of the hallmarks of a toxic relationship at work as opposed to a healthy relationship at work?
Oh gosh. So the toxic one is that somebody is trying to control you or trying to change your behavior. They might give you some feedback, which you're not quite sure how to take it or not. So quite passive aggressive sometimes. So it might be you can't express yourself fully because fear of being ridiculed or fear of being judged, or that person's going to sort of say something back to you that makes you feel really small. I think that's what it is. They definitely maybe don't respect the boundaries that you have. So there could be expectations that are unrealistic and you're just expected to get on with it. You might have somebody who micromanages you, so they don't respect your space for you to think and for you to get on with your work. So they're like always either popping up on your messenger and going, oh, I just thought I'd check in and see how you were. And then others thought I'd check in and see how you were. And it's not just once. It could be constant throughout the day. So you're never quite allowed to be yourself, to think for yourself, to just be in control of your work. So they're trying to think about how can they control that. So boundaries is a big one because they're not established. And also I think it can feel unequal. There's an unequal, unhealthy balance going on with that. And they might say some negative things about you, which initially, as I said, you're not quite sure, was that meant? Was it? It was said in jest, but what's underlying that? And they might say things about you to other people as well. So that's the other thing. You know, you might hear things that somebody said, well, so-and-so said you said that. Well, I didn't say that. That's not what I meant. Well, that's what they think. And then it just escalates into this toxicity.
Yeah. And of course, then that just massively impacts trust, sense of looking forward to, you know, sort of the year ahead. So there's so many conversations I've had with, you know, friends and colleagues that have over the years where it's dream job, nightmare people.
Yeah.
And, you know, and as we know, it's a phrase that you've often sort of said, you know, people leave managers, not jobs. You know,
absolutely.
There are people with whom actually the jobs that they've had haven't particularly fired them up, but people around them, it's such a great environment to work in. They really miss people when they leave or they, you know, they retire, etc. So of all the great places of work that we have been lucky enough to sort of be involved in, what for you would be some things to look out for that would indicate, yeah, actually, this is a healthy set of working relationships I have, even though there might be tricky times. So it doesn't mean everything's plain sailing. But what for you would be some of those identifiers of healthy relationships at work?
Yeah, I think healthy ones are you actually feel happy to spend time with people. So you look forward to coming into work or you look forward to that meeting with the team or the people around you because it's a good relationship. You know, you're respected. There's that bit around mutual respect. So I know we talk about that I plus you plus relationship as well, which is, you know, I respect myself and I respect you. And understanding that people bring their own unique qualities and skills into the job. And there's respect. I think, as you said earlier, Laura, trust is really key, but respect as well. And if you can have that around it, being given responsibility, having some sense of autonomy around the job that you're doing can actually make a difference. And being able to bounce ideas around with people, just in that as it is, not waiting to be judged or questioned to go, oh, that's a load of rubbish, but just that open, trusting relationship that enables you to have great communication with each other where ideas are ideas. They're not trying to be one-upmanship or anything like that. So I think, you know, curiosity as well, you know, that ability to be curious about what the other person can bring. And if you've got that healthy relationship at work, you look forward to coming in and thinking, you know, oh, I'm going to talk about that. I mean, we do that, Law. You know, we say, oh, I've got an idea. And we just chit-chat about it. And we go, yeah, I quite like that. Or, no, I'm not so sure of that. What does that mean? But there's no hidden agenda. There's no underlying fear of being judged or critiqued outside of that conversation. And I think that's what makes a big difference is you're given space to think as well. That person respects you for you and what you bring. You know, they employed you, so they can listen. I think, oh my God, listening is key. And I'm not sort of taking sides, but also being able to recognize everybody's perception of things is going to be different. But having that ability to bring that together and go, okay, I didn't think that. Now you've said that, I understand it from your point of view. So empathy and understanding of yourself, the other person, and the circumstances that you find yourself in is critical. And if you've got a team that have created that environment where that happens, that's what makes a healthy relationship at work. You just can't wait to go in.
Well, and isn't that proof in the pudding? Now, if people are given a bit of choice about when to go into an office or not, you know, with hybrid working, boy, is that, you know, the proof in the pudding, you know, in terms of do people actually want to go in or actually are people more tolerable when we're actually through a screen as opposed to sort of sitting there face to face? And that might not be the only reason, but certainly if I'm not drawn through the relationships I have at work to then go through more effort to then be able to be in the same room together, then suddenly that actual working relationships we have a real commercial impact, you know, in terms of whether people are going to come in sort of or not. You just got me thinking actually about that kind of, because I was just reflecting when you're saying about space, it's about not having an edge, is it? It's being able to communicate cleanly without there being an edge that someone, you know, might then feel wary. And I think that's where the parent-adult-child concept around transactional analysis and how we interact with each other, going for an adult environment, I think is such a good sort of pursuit to have at the back of our mind, maybe. And I think sometimes we can be haunted by maybe negatives from the past. So let's say I have had a really negative, manipulative ex-boss, let's say. If I'm now in a new role, am I still haunted by those run-ins, which means I'm already, for example, going to be quite in a childlike position when I come to you to say, please, please, yes. sir, can I be let off early for a dentist appointment?
Yeah.
Whereas someone else might come into that and they've actually had some really good early work experiences with very healthy relationships about them. So when they come and ask someone if they can have a favour, it's in much more of an adult way. So can I ask if I can take Friday off or leave early without it feeling like I'm a child asking you, my authority figure, to be given permission to do something, which then is amazing how those little kind of small communication bits set the scene of, do I feel like I have any control here, or do I feel like you are master of everything in my life and I can't do anything unless you then kind of agree or not? And that parent, adult, child little concept, I think, is a really useful place to start in that, do I feel empowered as an adult in how I relate with other adults in my workplace? And just because we might have different job titles, or there might be a little bit of salary difference between you and me, right here, right now, when we're in the pursuit of this meeting, all voices are equal.
Absolutely.
And actually, I might not have the positional power in that room and the status because I might be the most junior person in positional power. But actually, there'll be knowledge, skills, expertise, and a perspective that is completely unique to each and every one of us. And I think to be able to empower ourselves, if you feel you're in a working environment that might not be as healthy as it could be, you're part of that environment. What can you do to help clean it up and enable things to progress through in a really adult, safe way,
yes.
where you're not worrying the whole time that you're going to get fired every time you put your hand up and say something?
Yeah, that's
that
definitely not
everyone.
Healthy. Yeah, exactly. You just triggered a thought, really. I was running two workshops actually yesterday with same content, two different groups of people. And we were talking about just what you were saying, the parent-adult-child relationship, that bit around respect and trust. You know, we were talking about, do you come to work because you want to be liked or respected? And it's really interesting around that. So because if we want to come to work to be liked and that's it, then potentially we're not helping ourselves with that. Because we could then take on that role of asking permission, always doing everything because we want to be seen to be good or perfect. So we've got to be really careful about the perfectionist driver. And you're right, that does come from our learnt behaviours growing up and all sorts of other things that go into that. But actually what we want to do is be respected for what we can bring, what we offer. And then for me, to be respected, and if you're a good person anyway, with kindness and compassion, you communicate well, you're open, you know, you've got a sense of self-worth as well, you respect others, you have empathy, then the like comes anyway. So people will love to work with you. As you said, you know, people leave their bosses. They don't leave their jobs 9 times out of 10. So if you're somebody that is maybe ego-driven or hierarchical or that parent approach, that's not going to create a great environment for good, amazing teamwork to take place. So we have to think about, do I come to work to be respected or liked? Well, I really want both, but actually I want people to respect what I can bring. And then I happen to be a great person anyway, so they're going to like me. You know, so we have to think about, which one is it? It's really fascinating to watch that play out, especially if we're new into a role. Of course we want people to like us. That's part of belonging, right? But we also have to have that level of understanding, self-awareness, managing our emotions and being that adult in that conversation to know that I'm worth it.
Oh, I love that. That has now triggered another thought in my mind about where I've asked. It's been a while since I've asked a group this, but with that idea around trust, are you someone that trusts strangers zero and it builds up? Or are you someone that trusts a strange new person at work 10 and it either gets chipped away or maintains? And I wonder whether, do you think sometimes the more older and wiser and more experienced we get, it's not necessarily to do with length of life, but length of work experience, mm-hmm. potentially our ability to open-mindedly accept new people and gets a bit jaded and faded as we get a bit world weary, you know, yes. in terms of meeting all these people. I've worked for some environments. I remember we were involved in a culture change program. So it was something we did ages ago. But I remember being part of the focus group and people saying, people are coming and going all the time. I don't even bother to find out new people's names now until I see they've been here for 3 months because I've lost track of the amount of people and think, can you imagine joining that environment where people don't even bother to find out your name because the likelihood is you're not going to return.
I mean,
it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy, doesn't it? It was such a sick, toxic culture. Yeah. But the people that were in that working environment were miserable.
Yes.
But it was almost
like... And accepting it as well.
Yes, yes. Yes.
It's really hard, I think. And I always say, well, that's the culture that's been bred has made that happen. Because I've been, you know, working with people like you have great bosses, great cultures. They love the work they do. Yes, they have their disagreements along the way, but that's like in any relationship, right? You're going to have disagreements. None of us are the same. So having that respect to be able to create the space to have those conversations is really important. But I think also, as you were saying, Lord, to have that environment where it's just not healthy. I don't know another word, toxic, as we said, but that's because that's how it was created. But it doesn't have to always be that way. And you sort of go into organizations where you have somebody called it the other day, where we've got a new breed of manager coming through, which was like, wow, what does that even mean? They said, well, they're very much teamwork. They're very much collaborative. Whereas we don't work that way. And it was fascinating to be able to coach them through their understanding of what that meant, the impact that would have on people. Were they even aware that the way they were being now wasn't going to be a healthy space for people to come through? And that, as they said, well, you know, people are going to have to just get used to the culture around here. I said, that's great for you, but not everybody's going to stick around that. What's your attrition rates like? And they go, well, they're quite high. I go, let's have a look at what you're doing to bring that, you know, back to a level of normality. But it's whether that person can see it because they've been in it for so long and whether they want to even change it. Because there's a level of fear then when it comes with change. So it's fascinating. Yeah.
And Debs, you know, if I've been raised and where work is, the office is like a shredding machine and people come in, you know, and you kind of sink or swim in your first 6 months. And if you're here, you're here for life. I mean, just the amount of places that, you know, you sort of know that potentially operate like that. And to what extent then is it almost someone wreaking their revenge on anyone new that comes in? Because I had it tough in my first 10 years. So I'm going to kind of put that sort of out. But of course, we've had a pandemic. We're in the age of technology. The world has changed so much since 2000. There wasn't even a social media, you know, world in the year 2000. We were still printing things off. I mean, 2000 doesn't, you know, for us, it just feels like a blink away. But there are people who weren't even born in the year 2000 who will now be potentially managing a team where, you know, they've still got shoes that they were wearing in 2000 that they're still bringing out. You know, I mean, it is phenomenal, the amount of change. And one of the calls to action, I think, about having to think about healthy working relationships is we've got multi-generational working now. It will be not unusual to have someone that could be someone's grandparent.
Absolutely.
Potentially in your team, managed by someone with whom might be a completely different generation. Yeah. We've got, you know, whereas we've seen the world of sales and marketing, it's one size fits one and personalization. People are wanting that in their work experience as well. So I think what's quite fascinating, Debs, is we're going to see in this decade, I think, unraveling in front of us, to be at work. I think there's been a shift of power for many people. It's almost like I'm a customer of my work now and I'm entitled to have a great employee experience.
Absolutely.
Whereas back in the day, you know, there would be a gratitude from I've been given a job. Right, you know, I've got to work really hard. And it's not that people aren't working hard at all, but there's been a shift, I think, in the power dynamic. And so what we're then seeing is there'll be people with whom are joining workplaces who have completely different expectations about what it means to go to work. And you might be sitting there in a meeting next week, flabbergasted by someone asking a question that you never would have dreamt of asking, you know, when maybe you're in that scenario.
Yeah.
But do you accept that? Or do you fight against it? You know, and actually what we've seen is we've been through so much change that we're likely to see even more kind of shifts in that power sort of dynamic. And a question I've got for you about relationships at work is, to what extent has the pandemic and the shift in geography of where we work impacted our healthy working relationships? So what impact has the pandemic had? In a parallel universe, if we hadn't have had it,
yes,
where would we be at now? So what impact has it had?
Yeah, it's had a massive impact. As we know, some people have loved it because it means they don't have to mix and they don't have to be part of either a healthy or a toxic work relationship. Some people have loved the fact that they're not in it, and others have just not, I've just hated that, because they can't build the relationships. They can't rely on each other. They don't feel a sense of teamship around them because they haven't got that, the people that they want around them that will maybe inspire them or that they can learn from, or they can, you know, just have a general conversation with without any judgment around it. And it's really difficult to do that on a Zoom call because you're always, you know, some people now have learned you can hide yourself, you, on a Zoom, but some people haven't. So they're sort of so focused on what they may be looking like as they're talking that their brain is sort of half there, half on the conversation. So therefore, they're not themselves. So I think that authenticity to be who you are and bring that brilliance to work has gone to some extent. And I think people are going to have to work hard when teams come back to just re-engage with that and refocus on what do we bring to the team? You know, what do we do? Because that's what's going to be important, I think, moving forward. You know, because, you know, we're about to do some work with a team who are just going through that, absolutely that same problem around people don't want to come back because it was toxic. And we go, wow, so, but we don't want it to be toxic. Well, okay, well, what do you want it to be? We want it to be good. I said, what does good look like? So it, the curiosity to explore that and start to shape it, and then the communication that has to come out of that, and then they have to role model that. They have to lead the way with that as well. They can't just flick a switch and go, everybody's going to be like this. You know, there has to be this time, I think, is going to show. And so consistency, boundary setting, being clear on communication, where we're heading as a team to rebuild the trust. Because I think there's some trust that's been broken along the way as well.
Everything you're saying, I'm just nodding along and just thinking about how that project I talked about before, where a big culture change, where people wouldn't bother to find out each other's names until they'd made it, you know, yeah, for the first 3 months, whatever. Actually, the resolution throughout was exactly that quality time together. People would come in on the Monday, so we were able to negotiate a full 5 days for teams to be together. It was just incredible. People would come in spiky, frozen. They would defrost as the week went on, not through any kind of magical exercise we did, just the sheer opportunity to have time with each other and to find out, oh, I didn't even know you had kids. You yes. know, you're just on that other team, you know, and you're someone that doesn't do your job properly. But, oh, now I know a bit about you. It was incredible. Just that chance to humanise sort of with each other. Because, of course, Debs, for all the stuff you read online about chemistry from being in the room together, well, that sounds like a positive, as long as that's positive chemistry, because with every medicine, there's potential side effects, you know. And so if that chemistry isn't particularly positive within that team, it may cause fluttering anxiety,
yeah, absolutely.
raise blood pressure, headaches,
suspicion,
all of that stuff.
Yeah, all of
suspicion.
That. Suspicion. Yeah.
So where, of course, we know that there is a real chemistry, and that's what people missed from being in the room together. Like with any chemical mix, things can go bad as well as good. And so then it's having to think about, well, what does that then mean in terms of our healthy relationship?
Yes.
So it is, as you said, a non-toxic environment. It is as healthy
really
as it
important.
Can be.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that builds as well, Laura, in that how do we have the great one-to-ones with people too? Because I think, you know, again, I was talking to somebody yesterday on the workshop who has created an amazing team environment, but that person doesn't get anything, like doesn't have a one-to-one from their boss, so hasn't had a one-to-one just to acknowledge how they're doing in, well, 18 months. Now, they've been on the front line, so they're in work already. They have not been out of work like we have on Zoom or anything, but they haven't had any communication from their boss apart from, you need to do this, you need to do that. Now, it was really interesting to listen to them because they went, oh, it's just what I've got used to. and now I know how to handle it. And I think, and I sat there and went, but is that right though? Should you learn how to handle it or not? Yeah. And it created an amazing conversation with the rest of the group because they were so supportive of her, because there was somebody else who does the complete opposite, who has regular one-to-ones with their boss, was happy. You could see it on her face. She was calm. She knew her, she was confident. She knew her worth and her value. And if I could put the two of them together and you could see a picture of them, you definitely would sense one was lit up and the other one was dull as could be, because they're not getting what they need. So I think, yeah, we've got to be smart with those one-to-one conversations, I think, and set ground rules and acknowledge that you exist as a human being, I think, is really important, which goes back to that team that didn't even know somebody's name or wouldn't even be bothered to find out. It's like crazy, right? I wouldn't work there.
Yeah. Are we shredding people or are we maximising potential? You know, or is it a little bit sort of in the middle? This is where I think the old 3 A's tool could be kind of great, because there could be a long-term vision that's maybe planting in, you know, someone's mind at the moment, thinking, do you know what? It's not right, actually. Listening to this has just made me think, I don't want another 10 years of putting up with it until that other person leaves or whatever.
Yeah.
And, you know, and it might be then having to think about your exit strategy. Equally, life, you know, one of the reasons why we need to work is hopefully we can enjoy it as well. We need to work is to pay the bills and all the other responsibilities. So it would be naive to think that everyone can just resign tomorrow because they maybe work in an environment where it's not particularly healthy. This is where the 3 A's tool, I think, can be an absolute game changer. And the 3 A's tool is taken from the world of cognitive behavioral therapy, CBT, and it is a thinking tool, really. So 3 A's is, well, I could sit and stew about this and feel all sorry for myself and feel all kind of caught up in it and let it rule my internal life. Or I could do one of the 3 A's options, which is, can I do something to alter it? So can I say something? Can I adjust my approach? Can I speak up? Can I do something to alter it? Can I do something to avoid it? Are there actually some things that I could change that means that I have less of a run-in with that person, or I am less impacted, so I avoid the level of impact? Or maybe I just need to accept that actually this is part of a longer plan, or for whatever reason, you're unable to make a choice right now or a change. Maybe it would be in a year, couple of years' time, for whatever reason, but it's accepting that it might be for the greater good. But what it means is you're protecting your self-identity and self-esteem of,
absolutely,
I know I'm worth more than this, but I'm just accepting it in the short term because it's there for the longer good. Because I think the most dangerous thing that can happen, Debs, with toxic working relationships is it spoils that person's identity.
Yes.
They become a smaller version of themselves than when they started that role. And that impacts your core identity, that actually could really impact and influence for many, many years after that particular job that you then had. So that would be my kind of thought for the day, really, which is, you know, it's okay for the short term, but just watch yourself, that actually as a result of working around unhealthy relationships, that it's not spoiling the most important relationship in your life, which is the one you have with yourself.
Yeah, definitely. And that makes you sad to think about that that's happening to somebody or has happened to people, because then, as you say, it can take them years to rebuild their self-worth. And as you said earlier, you know, they could then carry that into their next place of work, and therefore they're going in maybe not as shiny as they could be, because that little cloud still may be hanging over them. So it's, you know, it's how can they reset and remind themselves that actually I'm really good, and these are the reasons why I'm really good, and I can do, and that all that affirmation, which is a lot of the work that, you know, I do with people to, if you like, rebuild them. That's the only way I can describe it, to remind them that they are good people and they don't have to put up with crappy relationships, really. But as you said, if they've got a longer term plan, it's okay for now, it's not forever, then by supporting them through that journey, which is what I do, is it just helps them remind themselves every time they speak to me. It's a reminder that, take a breath. I am doing this for the greater good. It's not going to be forever. And I think that's the magic that happens in a coaching conversation, where you can support somebody while they are going through this toxic space, but they know that they've got an outlet somewhere.
Oh, yes, Debs. And my particular area of passion at the moment that I just feels like this is the time to do it. It's because the best time to put in change is through times of change.
Absolutely.
So for anyone here that is part of a team or has the responsibility of running a team, select your etiquette, get everyone together, acknowledge what everyone has been through, have a quick chat about what's ahead, and just even a half-hour conversation about what are our ways of working, what are our different needs, how do we communicate, how do we cascade information. Simple stuff, that etiquette, rules of engagement. Half an hour now could solve or prevent hours and hours and hours of wasted opportunity in the years ahead, because if we stumble into it now, it's never going to get better as naturally, potentially on its own. It's starting well. So I think my call to action in terms of from a team point of view would be, if it feels all a little bit unknown and a bit intangible, have the conversation, book the meeting, have it as ways of working 2022, how are we going to smash our vision, and have that conversation. Is that to be anything complicated? In fact, it's the opposite. It's just simplifying and get everyone on the same page, because you're only through into the next field once the last person through has then shut the gate. If half the people sort of know how to work and the other half don't, you're just lost. There's no unity.
There's no unity. Absolutely no unity. And I think that's such a good call to action, Law, for that team to be able to do that together, because that just bring the boundaries, brings them together, clarity, which is what we all like, and we know where we stand. So that's really important. And I think, you know, if I was to say for yourself, if you're thinking about, am I in a healthy relationship, working relationship, is just to ask yourself some questions around the following. So do I share the goals of my wider team and where the company's going? It's a yes or no answer. Does my boss encourage me to grow and learn and develop? It's a yes or no answer. There's no maybes here. These are very black and white yes and no's. Because if it's a no, well, that's a bit of a clue to maybe think about whether you accept it, avoid it, or try and alter it, as you said. So I think it's that. I think the other question you can ask yourself is, do I accept them for who they are? So that mutual respect thing. I respect myself and I respect them. And actually, the big question here sometimes is, you know, is my life better with them in it?
Ooh, mic drop. Imagine putting that in as a little sneaky question at the end of an appraisal.
Oh my God, that would be so cool. I think everyone should do that.
Let me just amend the PDF. Insert text box. Is my life better as a result of it? Wow. Can you imagine an environment where that is that level of courage to just, you know, say, well, you know, is it better or not? But nothing like a pandemic to make us reevaluate our choices and who we spend our time with has an influence over our experience of life. And for anyone that work is a big part of their life, then the people you work with are going to have a big part of your life as well. So I think it's a fascinating topic, Debs. And of course, the whole of this month. So today has been thinking about what is a healthy relationship. So that's an opportunity to identify and define. We then, in the rest of the month, we're thinking about, well, what does that mean from a team point of view? So how do we create great working relationships as a team? What does that mean in terms of handling conflicts and disagreements in the most mature, responsible adult way? And then the final one will be all about embracing diversity of opinion. So how we work and, in fact, encourage differences of opinions, which might not make the conversation particularly easy, but probably the challenges that we're going to have to deal with in this decade and beyond, it won't be easy ones. It's going to require diverse opinions. And so the skills to be able to handle in that moment to encourage it rather than squash it are probably going to be quite premium now and for the future. So have a fantastic, love-filled, healthy relationship vibe of a week, Debs.
You too, Law. And I look forward to next week's episode as well and talking to you about that. Oh my God, we got so much to talk about. Love it.
We have. Right. Love you.
Bye.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode. We'd love to hear from you. Email us at secretsfromacoach@aol.com or follow us on Instagram and Facebook. And if you're a Spotify listener, give us a rating, as it makes it easier for us to share the secret with others.